Vayarbalak ben Tzipor et kol asher asa Yisrael la emori. OU Israel presents
in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Balak. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the fifth day of Tammuz, 5771, July 7th. That sort of focuses us in. Parshat Balak is not matched with anything. It will be the seventh of the month, a regular Shabbat, a very straightforward kind of sedra, which we will discuss in a few different ways in a few moments. But first, let's begin, as we usually do, with Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shema v'koli, tihyena oznecha kashuvot, l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmorya, Adonai mi ya'amod, ki imacha hasalicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivita nafshi, v'lidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hacheset v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha u'meyafela l'ora u'mishibud l'geula hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Okay, maybe we're in business these first 3 minutes and 18 seconds or something like that. Took a very long time for me to put together. I'm working on a small notebook. Problems with my computer, which was upgraded and fixed yesterday, and now are worse than they were before, at least in the sound department. So I am back to recording on my lovely Eddie Roll recorder, and then uploading to Cool Edit now in my notebook. I imported a few files from my office computer via Dropbox, and whether you care about that or not, I just wanted to bring you a little bit behind the scenes. So let's take a look at Parshat Balak. If I say Balak, it's my old pronunciation, and I find it hard, especially when I'm talking English, to refer to it as Balak. It's an old issue of pronunciation. In any event, I basically say a lot that Parshat Balak is one of the simplest, most straightforward, plain sedras that we have. I don't mean it as an insult. It's just a fact. Among the 613 mitzvot, none are found in Parshat Balak. That is by no means unique. There happen to be 17 different sedras out of 54 in the Torah, which have no mitzvot counted from them. Their value are moral lessons and stories and filling in part of the history of the Jewish people, and maybe they have mitzvot that are discussed elsewhere, whatever, each one we'd have to take on its own. But Parshat Balak has no mitzvot. Furthermore, Parshat Balak is made up of two parshiot, one very long one of 95 verses, and one average size of 9 verses. I want to make something clear. There are or not really clear, but to muddle it up with some statistics. There are 674 partiotes, which the closest that would be in English would be paragraph or passage, might be even better, in a Torah scroll. Remember that a Torah scroll does not have sedras delineated, does not have chapters, makes a distinction between each of the five books by leaving four blank lines on a Torah scroll. There are no distinctions at the end of a verse and the beginning of a next. There are no vowels to any of the letters. There is no Torah trup, the Torah notes as to how to read it. It is just text with letters, words, and partiot. Partiot are the only distinguishable sections of text in the Torah. Out of 674 partiot, the average length is about 9 verses, a little bit less. So we're talking about a 95-verse parsha. It is not the longest, but it's very, very large. And that's because it's one topic, the story of Bilaam and Balak, and that's followed by a relatively short, although it turns out to be the average number of verses, a 9-verse parsha at the end, which we'll get to. The bulk of Parshat Balak is the story of Balak, the king of Moab, fearing the Jewish people after he heard what had happened to some neighboring city-states that had been defeated by Israel in battle, that had been superior militarily to Moab, and therefore Balak had a real fear. I imagine in my mind's eye that he did some research. We could say whatever the old version of Googling the new nation of Israel. He found some articles. Probably they had the notation that it needs verification. But he gathered from his research that there is something spiritual about these people, and perhaps, as the expression goes, to fight fire with fire, we might be able to fight against Israel, not in the conventional warfare of bows and arrows and swords and spears, but perhaps something of a more spiritual nature. So he sent emissaries to a neighboring kingdom of Midian, to a world-renowned soothsayer and prophet, the person called Bilaam, who we call Bilaam HaRasha, the wicked Bilaam, the arrogant Bilaam, but a very, very powerful prophet with some kind of spiritual connection to God above and beyond most people. And he was invited for the usual fees and maybe double, triple fees to come and to curse the people of Israel. Bilaam, his first reaction is, make it clear, I don't say things on my own, it all comes from God. One imagines that he had a little problem saying that kind of thing, but that was the fact. And he makes this clear to Balak, and first he refuses, and then a more prestigious group of elders from both Midian and Moab approach Bilaam, and he agrees to go, or receives God's, quote, reluctant permission to go. On the way is the famous story of Bilaam and his donkey, where the donkey was able to see a heavenly angel with a sword in his hand blocking the path. The donkey swerved from the road, from the path. Bilaam beat it. Bilaam did not see the angel, and that's part of the message that comes later. And after three times, God gave the donkey the power of speech to say to Bilam, what are you hitting me for? And a conversation between Bilam and the donkey ensues. We won't get into that now. God then lets Bilam see the angel standing in his way. He realizes that he shouldn't be going where he's going. He even offers to turn back. And the angel surprisingly says, no, no, you could continue on your way. Just remember that you can't say anything on your own. It all comes from God. So Bilam goes, and throughout this portion, you sense the battle Bilam was having with his ego, where on the one hand, he knew very well that he would not be able to say anything against the people of Israel without God's permission. He also knew he would not get God's permission under normal circumstances, but he had a few tricks up his sleeve, and when he met Balak, he had Balak build him 7 altars and sacrifice on them 7 bulls and 7 rams. And then he went off into the field on his own to meditate in the hopes of gaining permission from God to do what Balak had asked Bilam to do. Instead, what comes from his mouth are beautiful descriptions of this special nation of Israel. And Balak, listening to this, is sort of getting a little riled up. He says, I didn't hire you to praise them. I hired you to curse them. And Bilam repeats. He says, I told you before, I can't say anything as much as I would like to. I can't say anything without God putting it in my mouth. So they try another series of sacrifices on another series of altars. And again, Bilam fails to do Balak's bidding. Both of them go to another vantage point where they can see more of the people, and as much as Balak appears to be disgusted by what he sees, Bilam is highly impressed by what he sees and utters the famous quote, which we incorporate into the daily davening, which many synagogues around the world have as one of their mottos, Matovu Oholecha Yaakov, Mishkanotecha Yisrael, how goodly are your tents, O Jacob, and your Mishkan, your tabernacles or your dwellings, Israel. Many interpretations for that. The one that I would suggest, which carries a very nice message to it, is that Ohalecha Yaakov, the tents of Jacob, refer to the private homes of individual Jews, in the case of the wilderness tents, in the case of any other society in our time, personal apartments and houses. And Mishkanotecha Yisrael refers to the houses of God, meaning the actual temple, meaning the Batei Knesset, synagogues, shuls, the Beit Medrash, the house of study, and both are very important locales for Jewish life. Judaism has in it synagogue attendance and davening with a minyan and public reading of the Megillah and public reading of the Torah and various and sundry other functions of the synagogue. It also has Judaism active on a daily basis and a weekly basis in a Jew's home. So the concept as expressed by this world famous prophet, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkanotecha Yisrael, made such an impact on us that we take the words that came out of the mouth of an individual we describe and identify as a wicked person who was attempting to destroy the people of Israel, and God put these words into his mouth. We take those words into our prayer, and it becomes a motto and a symbol of Jewish behavior. And also, in a small sense, smaller sense, maybe, the recognition that here a non-Jew recognized something within Judaism that maybe needed the perspective of someone outside, and sometimes it's something that we don't see on our own. I have more to say about this, but in the meantime, let's put on a track. I don't have the information as to what album it comes from, but it is from the Morning Davening, which quotes the Pasuk Ma Tovu Olecha Yaakov, and then adds three psukim, or three sections, from Tehillim, from Psalms, which put together in the prayer, which is a very early morning prayer. It's the first prayer uttered by a person when he goes into the Beit Knesset for morning prayers. Could be said at home as well. And it seems kind of obvious the way our sages put this together, that it was meant to take the part of the verse from Parshat Balak that refers to the houses of worship, the Beit Knesset, the synagogue, the shul, as follows, and comes together as an introduction to the morning prayer. The words in English are, "As for me, in your great loving kindness, I will come into your house. I will bow down to your holy temple in awe of you. God, I love the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. As for me, I will bow in worship. I will bend the knee before God the Maker. As for me, may my prayer come to you, God, at a time of favor. God, in your great loving kindness, answer me with your faithful salvation." These are various psukim from Tehillim, as I mentioned, from Psalms, and they are introduced by the quote from Bilam, "Matovu oholecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael," and here it is in music. Enjoy.
Stop it.
That was Ma Tovu. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Balak. I had just sort of promised a different approach to the Sedra. I don't know if I would call it a different approach, but a different angle. Let's start this way. Picture the following scene. Your friend is in a rowboat coming down a river, and you know... He does not, but you know that not too far around the next bend is a treacherous fall which will lead to his being smashed to smithereens at the rocks below. And you push the boat, nudge it with yours, whatever, I don't know, make up your own story, and divert him to the nearest shore, saving his life. This situation, he is unaware of the danger and unaware that your act saved him. What do you do? All right, I don't know if that's a constructive kind of question to ask and try to answer, but let's say you tell him. You say you just avoided a very bad scene around this bend. This is a dangerous waterfall, and you would have been smashed. He obviously is overwhelmed with appreciation for your saving his life, and perhaps he's appreciative, additionally, that you told him about it. I don't know if this is such a great mushel analogy, but let's carry it to one step more. In Pirkei Avot, Rabbi Akiva is quoted as saying, Chavivin Yisrael, beloved is Israel, Shenikra Banim Lamakom, that they are called God's children. Chibayetera no da'at lahem, Shenikra'u Banim Lamakom, a higher measure of love from God is that he told them that they are Banim Lamakom, children of God, as it says in the verse, Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem. This idea of love being one level and a higher level is letting the person know that you love him. This is good advice for parents. Parents can love their children very much, but they also need, or not but, and they also need to make sure the child hears it from them often. Say, I love you. Not just love the child. I believe it's part of that idea of chavivin and chiba yetera. We have a situation in Parshat Balak where Israel was threatened with annihilation. And God saved the people from extinction by thwarting Balak and Bilam's plot, and we were not knowledgeable of what was going on at all. Let's take this back a couple of steps and take a look at what I'm talking about. When Israel came out of Egypt and they reached the sea and they looked back and they saw a pursuing Egyptian army, they panicked. They were afraid. They cried out, and Moshe called out to God. And God said, just have everyone stand by and observe, and I will take care of the situation. The sea was split. The people passed through in dry land. The Egyptian army pursued and was drowned by the closing sea. Witnessed by a few million people. That's the way it usually is. They saw the miracles at the sea, that God had saved them in this glorious manner from Egypt. Subsequently, an attack by Amalek. This time they were not told, step aside and watch. They were told to gather an army. Moshe had his praying, and God helped out, and the outcome was okay. Again, witnessed by millions of Jews. So it was with all of the wars until they reached the the Jordan River, and all of the battles in the land of Israel, and pretty much the way it's been since then. One time that we know of, could be more, one time that we know of, there was a threat to the existence of the Jewish people. God took care of the situation himself. He was the one that confounded Balak and Bilam at every turn, and their plot failed miserably, almost comically, and no one knew a word about it until the Torah. God included in the Torah this episode, which no one witnessed. Balak and his descendants are not talking about it. Bilam didn't talk about it. God told us the story of that which we were not witness to. All the rest of the Torah, pretty much, we were witness to. It's a significant difference. You could almost say that a person who questions the truth of the story of Bilam and Balak is challenging the whole essence of the Torah. Because all the other parts you can't challenge when millions of people pass this down generation to generation to their children. My great-grandfather told my grandfather, who told my father, who told me, that such and such happened. Here, it's in the Torah, God's testimony. And it's a very special thing. It is chiba yetera noda'at lahem, an extra measure of love that he made this known to us. And this is an important idea. Before we move on to the 9-verse ending of the Sedra, and maybe hopefully touch a little bit of the Haftarah as well, I want to play another track, but this time from an old cassette, an old album from the Or Chadash Orchestra, popular, I guess, back in the 60s. And when I used to put the show together in Beit El in the Arut Sheva studios, I had a tremendous music library and a very well-organized computer program to find songs that I wanted. One of these days, I'd love to organize all of my cassettes and CDs and records, and maybe digitalize the records and the CDs. But they had this huge library, probably still have, of records, and I was able to draw songs from old albums as well as new ones. So I accidentally found, when I was listening to something on my little notebook, an attempt that I had of taking a cassette and digitalizing it. The quality I don't think is so great yet. I'm working on it. But I found the song which takes the pasuk Matovu Oholecha Yaakov Mishkanotecha Yisrael, treats it differently from the one you heard earlier in the show, and I am putting it here only because it's Matovu. And after that, we will discuss the rest of the parsha and beyond.
Mama, 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 toivu, oy, 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 olecho, Yaakov. Oy, 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 olecho, Yaakov, mishkano, secho, Yisrael. Mama, 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 toivu, oy, 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 olecho, Yaakov. Oy, 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 olecho, Yaakov, mishkano, secho, Yisrael.
Yeah.
We get to the end of the Sedra. Very sad. Those first 95 out of 104 verses we read with fascination, seeing over and over again how we were protected by God and how Bilaam kept saying beautiful things about the people of Israel. Halavai, we should only listen to what he said. Listen to his description and behave like it. Really could talk about that, but I'm not up to that at the moment. And that part of the story ends with Balak kicking Bilaam out of the country, saying, I gave you your chance. You could have been fabulously wealthy, and you blew it. Goodbye, and they went their own ways. We have a tradition that one of them, or the two of them together, came up with a suggestion. If we can't beat Israel, let Israel beat itself. Let them shoot themselves in the foot. Let them lose favor in God's eyes, and he won't protect them. Sure enough, their plan, or their advice, was to entice the men of Israel to the orgiastic worship of Baal Peor, and that would be such a devastating turning their back on God that he will punish them. We will just stand by and smile. And unfortunately, in the brief portion at the end, that's what happened. A plague broke out among the Jews who had succumbed to this worship, and the Torah records a death toll of 24,000, which would have grown much larger and continued had it not been for the bold action of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, the name of whom is given to next week's Sedra. The story, interestingly, continues into the beginning of next Sedra, as if to say, we are ending Balak in this cliffhanger that there was a death toll of 24,000, sad, that Pinchas acted and killed one of the leaders of the tribe of Shimon and the Midianite princess with which he was cavorting, and that's it. That's the end of the Sedra. But the fact that we did it to ourselves is a tragedy, especially when contrasted with the bulk of the Sedra that contains that amazing story of Bilaam and Balak's super failure. I think of it sometimes in terms of what happens here in Israel. One day you can read about missiles being fired by Arabs into Jewish areas and nobody being injured. And the next day, you sadly read about a devastating car crash with fatalities. We do it to ourselves. And it's sad. When your enemy is outside, you can defend against him. You have God's help against him. And the more we have God on our side, so to speak, the better shape we are in to handle anything our enemy throws at us. When we turn away from God, we have problems. Our enemies succeed, and we hurt ourselves. I think that's a lesson from the Parsha. Let me finish off with the Haftorah. The Haftorah of Parshat Balak comes from the book of Micha, which refers to Balak and Bilam, which I imagine is the primary reason that it exists as the Haftarah of Balak. And the ending of the Haftarah is something to look at on its own. Higid lecha adam matov. Interesting that that word phrase, matov, what's good, and matovu, very similar. In fact, matovu is spelled without a vav at the beginning, so it's tet, bet, vav, and matov is tet, vav, bet. So it's the same word anagrammed. Uma Hashem doresh mimcha, mimcha. What does God demand of you? Ki'im, just, asot mishpat, to carry out justice, the ahavat chesed, and a love of kindness, the hatznea lechet im elokecha, and be modest in the way you go with God. Now the word just you have to put in quotes, because it's a tall order here. But it's sort of like a formula. Asot mishpat ahavat chesed hatznei alechet im elokecha covers your bein adam lachaveiro, interpersonal behavior, and your relationship with God. Which is the antidote to the Balaks and the Bilams of the world and all of the enemies of the world that we have, and even an antidote to our own failures. Do justice, love chesed, and be modest. An amazing way to finish the Haftarah of Parshat Balak, which ends in such a devastating episode. I have about a minute left. I would like to share with you something that I wrote about in regular Torah Tidbits. And it's part of an ongoing column that I focus on something which gives that special good feeling, a little thing, of being where you belong in Israel. This is a small thing, but it's a big thing also. Coca-Cola just came out in Israel with new labels and new boxes, which are meant lichvod Shabbat, in honor of Shabbat, and for oneg Shabbat. There's attractive picture of challah with cover and wine cup and candlesticks, and the legend on the label and the legend on the box is very much, this is in honor of Shabbat. It's a good feeling. The box even contains a game that kids can play on Shabbat. That's about all I wanted to say. Let me wish you a read it in Torah Tidbits. It comes out better that way. Shabbat Shalom. Lehishtameah.